I'm sorry. I'll be right with you. Yeah. Okay. All right. I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. Oh. You should see this. It's yeah. Okay. All right. Done. All right. Thanks. Thank you. All right, well, welcome everyone to Black Hawk Church. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors on staff. And you ever had that happen? Ever? Never. It never happens to you in your life. And I'm sure you're never the one doing it, obviously. So today we are continuing in this series that we are doing called Trending, where we are taking a look at some of the biggest subjects in our culture, in our society right now, and the things that you're not sure if you can really have conversations with other people about comfortably. And we believe that the church is a place we should be having those conversations. It should be a safe place for us to be able to talk about that stuff. And it's important for us as a community to be able to take a look at what would a loving God have to say about a lot of these different subjects. Well, today we are talking about social media. So, and some of you might be going, okay, that seems kind of tame, you know, when it comes to some of the other subjects that we're dealing with in this series. But if you really stop to think about it, every one of the other subjects has been affected by social media. Isn't that true? I mean, we stop to think about it. Think of like the political scene today and the way that that has been affected by the amount of tweets and posts and all sorts of things that have been put out there. When you stop to think about the Me Too movement that we're talking about that next week, I mean, it wouldn't even have happened had there not been social media. And the thing is that social media, it's not just affecting like these big, huge subjects that we're dealing with that are trending in this world because of social media. It affects our everyday lives as well. I mean, you think about it, since the time that social media came around, some of you in the room are here and like you don't remember the world without social media. You're like natives to that world. But the rest of us, we're kind of really fast adopters. And since that time, I mean, it's changed our vocabulary. You know, in that time, the word friend somehow became a verb. You know, I'm going to friend you. You know, all kinds of, there are all kinds of words like that and phrases we use like going viral, as in, I can't believe that that egg on Instagram is actually going viral. Do you guys all know about this? Anyone know about this? Picture 49 million likes as of last night in social media. If you don't know about it, just go look it up, people. So, something you should know about. Now, okay, here's reality. We've got 30 minutes right now. We are not going to be able to even really scratch the surface of all the things that we should talk about when it comes to the subject of social media. My hope is this is going to hit you at whatever age and stage of life that you're at and however it is that you're engaging with that. But we know that there's a lot more to deal with. And so on our website, on our blog, we have all kinds of resources for you, articles, books, podcasts, other sermons you can listen to, talks. And we just encourage you to head there and take a look at it. Some stuff in particular for parents on how to be able to parent through this subject. And we think it would be a really good place to go. But I mean, the reality is like this whole subject of social media, like it's not going anywhere. Let's do something just for fun. How many of you in the room right now are in at least on, you're at least on one of these platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, LinkedIn, Tumblr, Pinterest, or you're on some type of like online gaming. You know, think like Fortnite, you know, with people who might not be in the room that you're ultimately playing with. How many people right now in the room or online joining us? How many of you in the room are on one of those? Raise a hand. Raise them high. Look, that's just about everybody, okay? How many of you are actually on one of those sites right now because you're rather bored? Amen. Thank you for your honesty. You know, the reality is that it affects all of us. Even if you are one of the few people who didn't raise your hand, you're a purist, you're like, I'm not on any of that right now, you know? So even if you're that person, admit it. Like in the news today, you can't turn on the news without hearing about something that someone tweeted or some post that went completely bad or a picture that was found and was put out online. It affects every one of us. And I'm not here to like paint the picture of it all being good or all being bad today. I mean, I'm a person who is on social media. I have bought into the social media world. I am on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Those are the three places that I am on a fairly regular basis. And when I look at everything within social media, I don't think that you can put it into either camp. Social media is a tool. Just like a hammer or a wrench or something like that. It's a tool that can be used for good in ways, but it can also, if misused, it can be used for real evil. I mean, so, and I think that we could all come up with stories of the way that it's been used in different ways. Like case in point, so a way that I've seen it used for good. I posted this picture on Instagram on my own page of my mom and dad. That's my mom and dad on New Year's Eve. We were down in Florida, went out for dinner, and I posted this not too long ago because my dad has cancer, and so he just started chemotherapy. And I posted this the day before he was going in for chemo, and I posted on Instagram and Facebook just to ask people who know my family and know us if they would pray for him. And let me tell you, the outpouring of what we experienced, the amount of people who interacted with the photo in both different platforms and liked it, or who commented and told us that they were praying for us, man, it was like a lifeline to us. People who like we haven't heard from in years that found the picture and let us know that they were praying, people different areas of the country or even different areas of the world. I mean, as we went through stuff with this picture, it was like the world felt smaller and God felt really big. There are people here at Blackhawk, people who have come up to me like in between services today who have come and asked me the question, how's your dad doing because of a post like this? Like you want to see a good side of social media. The amount of people praying and encouraging my family right now, it's been off the charts. So, but we can all also paint pictures of the bad side. Okay, now before we get to the bad side, let me just ask. Did anybody happen to catch wind of a little basketball game yesterday in the world of university? We can definitely cheer for that right now, people. So as the University of Wisconsin took down the University of Michigan, who was ranked number 2, arguably number 1 in the nation, it was an unbelievable game. Can I get an amen from anyone, all sites, all venues? It was unreal. Now, and here's the thing, I know if you were on social media, did you notice if you're a UW fan, the way social media started to blow up? The amount of tweets, the amount of posts, the amount of like selfies at the game, the shots of the crowd slow motion running on to the court. You know, there were all of these things. It was amazing. It was one of those moments where you're so happy to be a UW fan. But if you follow social media and follow the UW basketball team, you know that there have been games this season where people thought that they maybe should have won. And in those moments, you see the team get lit up online. Like I don't know if you realize this, we have a bunch of the players who attend different services at Blackhawk, staff and coaches who attend our church. And when you see the stuff that is written online, that people just feel all rights to be able to say whatever they want, that is just incredibly like vitriol and hate, like hatred. It's like stuff that, stuff towards the team, but stuff towards individuals as well. And that's mild in comparison to a lot of the stuff that's written out there online. I mean, when we get into the world of social media, we can jump into cyberbullying. You can get into the world of people that you see who like, man, they are doing everything they can to promote themselves and their lifestyle, posting as many pictures as possible. It's like they're living a life of like being their own PR director, you know? You see, I mean, the amount of pornography that's out on social media, not just on the web. You can find it in every area of social media, not just stuff that you consume, but stuff that like people are creating now. You look at the world of fake news that's out there and the stuff that just stirs up the world. I mean, it just doesn't take long to realize that, man, there is really good stuff about social media and really evil stuff. And so the question that we come to ask on a subject like this is, what would a loving God have to say about the subject of social media? Well, as I did research, I actually found out that Jesus really made this easy for us. Because as I researched, I found out he has a profile in every social media platform out there. You can just go ahead, direct message him, be in contact with him. It's so great. You can actually say, yeah, I'm a Christ follower, you know, this way. It's fantastic. That was bad humor, wasn't it, right there? So there's so we know those aren't real. You know, and we know that Jesus, when he was walking the planet, there was really wasn't social media that was going on. And so how do we find out the ways that we're supposed to live? In a situation like this, we're required with something specific to jump up to 30,000 feet and to ask the questions of how did Jesus enable us to live as Christ followers? What does that look like for our lives? Jesus did that with his disciples as he was walking the earth. And one time as he was getting ready to send them out, it's recorded in the book of Matthew in chapter 10, a bunch of stuff he was telling them as he was getting ready to send them out to help transform this world that we live in. And he said this to them. He said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and be as innocent as doves. In other words, like you're going out into a dangerous world. And so I am sending you out. I want you to be wise and shrewd and alert and realize what's going on. And I want you to be innocent. I want you to protect yourself. I want you to be careful. I think it's the same type of thing that he would say to us as well. I think that in a situation like this, that he would say, look, in the world of social media, my hope is not that you are just going to like circle the wagons and protect yourself and have nothing to do with it. But he would also say, my hope is that you wouldn't end up just embracing everything that's out there because there's danger out there that you need to be aware of. You know, the thing is, in the world of social media, like, there's a lot that we are just beginning to learn on the impact that it has on us as human beings, that many researchers are saying that in the time that we have been in social media, there is actual rewiring that is happening in our brains. In the way that we take in information, the amount that ends up coming at us, in the way that we communicate with each other, oftentimes online, more so than in person, and all of this stuff, it's like the attention span that people have. And with all of this that takes place, there is a rewiring that takes place. It's like, in other words, like it's like as we are creating social media, as we're creating it, it's actually recreating us. And we found that there are elements of it that actually are kind of addictive. And I think that for a lot of us, we can see the way that plays out. That when I go on and I post a picture on Instagram, you know, take a selfie with the crowd right now, you know, and I go ahead and I post that. And then I go on to my page and I look to see what, how many likes I'm getting. You know, the type of reaction I'm getting from other people. And every time that I see that and I see a few more likes come in and I see that happen, it's like there is a shot of dopamine that I get to my brain. Dopamine is like the feel-good chemical that we have in our body. I actually get a hit of that. That when I go on and I post and comment on someone else's page and I feel empowered to say something and I can be in contact with that person, they might write me back. This little shot of dopamine to my brain that ends up making me feel a particular way. That keeps me coming back for more. On top of that, like when you head on to social media and you see, do you ever notice that like people will post particular stories and the titles of those stories, like you'll click on one and then there'll be like five or six more stories in there that you can click on. And with all of them, don't the titles sound amazing? Like when you read them, it'll be like 10 ways to live your best life of 2019. By the way, you gotta check out number 6. It will blow your mind. Well, you have to click on it then, and then you read number 6, you're like, that was no big deal, you know? See, all of this is called clickbait. Clickbait is a way that people using social media try to draw us in. They try to bait us to click on the different elements by making it sound greater than it actually is. A ho-hum article can sound absolutely amazing just simply by a title. And they're getting us to click on it because they know that once we're in and they've got us. And this is the way that they make money. You know, have you ever noticed that like, okay, so recently I was shopping for a new pair of boots and I was on Amazon just looking at different boots. The next day on my social media, There were like boot advertisements everywhere. There were like things that people had posted of like pictures of them with their boots and, you know, and all this different stuff coming up. I mean, it's like, how do they find this stuff out? You see, they're algorithms. They're watching everything you click on, everything you shop for, everything you do online. If you think like it's a private world, you are just fooling yourself. It's all out there. And it's the reason why when you click on particular articles, like on the political scene, why you'll read an article, maybe you lean more on the conservative side, or maybe you lean and read more on the liberal side, but it's the reason why when you click those articles, you read this stuff, why all of a sudden then you'll get more opportunities to click on more articles about the same type of stuff. And so we end up reading everything on one side, and it ends up making us more tribal and more polarized from the way that we are with other people, like separated from one another. And all of this is happening without us even realizing it, because so much of it ends up being addictive. Social media is something that is created for us to feel a particular way. And in some ways, we can look at it and think that from the way that it is being used, that we are being used in the process. But what if we were to look at social media a little bit differently? There's a great friend of Black Hawk Church who we've had a chance to work with a lot in the past. She is a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary and a researcher. She's an author and a speaker, and she has done a lot of work. Black Hawk has been able to be in different studies that she's done on the church, and her name is Kara Powell, and she actually gave a talk on this subject of social media. She runs something at Fuller called the Fuller Youth Institute. And she was giving a talk, and she brought up this idea. Rather than asking the question, does social media help me to feel better, instead we should be asking, does it help me to love better? In other words, what if we were to change it just a little bit? Rather than us simply being used, of us actually using it to do something productive, to move towards people in a different way. And she moved a group of people through a passage of scripture that I actually would love for us to take a look at together for just a minute. If you have your Bibles, turn with me right now to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. You can use your phone, just don't check your social media accounts while you're doing that. So, Mark chapter 12. Now, this is one of the times where Jesus was in touch with a lot of the different religious leaders. They would come to him all the time, questioning him about all kinds of stuff. This is one of those times. This is where we pick up the story. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. That was Jesus and some of the other religious leaders. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "All right, of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." Jesus lays out actually three different types of people that we should be loving. Love God, and then love others, and love others implying the fact, love others as yourself. In other words, it's important for you to be a person who loves yourself well. In other words, sees yourself as Jesus sees you. Love God, love others, love yourself. What if we were to, rather than having social media use us, to use a guide like this to give us an idea of how to interact with social media? That we would become people who, through social media, we strive to love God better, to love other people better, and to love ourselves better. And we would use that as something we'd be able to like come back to and see, when I am using social media, am I loving Jesus better or less? Am I loving others better or less? Am I loving myself better or less? What does it look like? Okay, let's unpack each of these. My hope is that this is gonna be just some really practical stuff that we can grab onto, that you can use in day-to-day life. What does it look like to love God with social media? Well, again, we need to be wise and we need to be careful. There is all kinds of stuff that we can look at, that we can interact with, that we can post, that we can comment on online in social media that ultimately will drive a wedge between you and your relationship with God, that I think we need to just be aware of and be on top of. Like, there is so much stuff that can end up making us feel guilty that it, like, causes there to be a barrier between us and God. On top of that, like, there can be all kinds of distractions that we can end up dealing with. We could have times where, you know, we decide we're going to sit down and spend some time with God. And a lot of times for us, for many of us, we'll do that on a phone or a tablet or something, and we're getting ready to unwind, and we just decide, oh, I'm just going to go onto my social media accounts really quick just to look around because I've got about 45 minutes. And 42 minutes go by of you just simply scrolling and looking, and all of a sudden you realize there just went my whole window of me spending any time with God. Or it could be that maybe you're using like a Bible app or something like that, and you're spending time with God in the morning, and as you do that, you get some texts that come through that immediately distract you from the time that you have with God, and you feel like now the stress is on, I got to deal with this real quick. Or an email that comes through, you feel like I just have to deal with this. You see, it can be distracting. There can be ways that barriers can come in between, and there can be all kinds of distractions that end up coming our direction too. But social media can be a great way for us to love God better. We have more information that we can click onto because of the world of technology and social media than any other group of people ever. There are unbelievable Bible study apps and accountability groups and all kinds of different things that you have at your fingertips that can help you in your relationship with God. One, I'm guessing that for most of us here or at all the sites, all venues, watching online, I'm guessing you have on your phone. It's a Bible app called YouVersion. If you don't have it, you need to download it. And there is a way for you to be able to connect with friends, to go into there. There are different Bible studies that you can do, and you can do those with friends. One of my accountability guys is a guy named Brian, and for one particular season, we decided that we wanted to go through a good chunk of the New Testament together, and so we just started in Matthew and started going through one chapter at a time, and every day, we would get up in the morning, I would open up YouVersion, and I would read one chapter of the New Testament, and he would read the same chapter, and then I would go ahead and text him what was one thing that I learned from that passage, one thing that stuck out to me, and one way that he could pray for me that day. We did that every morning. It had big ramifications on, like, for good in my life as far as my relationship with God. My relationship with Brian got better, the type of conversations that we have changed, and it was a way for us every day to consistently interact with God's word together. It's just an idea. But it can really help in our relationship with God. Okay, that's number one. Number two, how does social media help me to love others? Well, we can point towards a lot of ways that it doesn't. Because, man, I don't know if you spend much time online, spend much time on social media, but the type of stuff that people can write, man, it can just be so full of hatred and anger. It was like social media was created, and all of a sudden, lots of people felt like, well, it just gives me the right to say whatever I want to whoever I want. And we've just sort of like accepted it as, well, it's just social media. That's just the way that it is. Some people take it to such an extreme, and I'm guessing there are people here who do the same thing, where you don't want it, the things that you say to be attached to you, and so you create fake accounts or anonymous pages. Anonymous, like, profiles, so that you can say whatever you want without having to deal with the kickback actually being connected to you. You see, Scripture doesn't have a lot to say about social media, but do you think it has anything to say about the ways that we communicate with each other? Look at this in the book of Ephesians. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. Proverbs 15 says this, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. How is it that you're interacting with people? What if you were just to simply make a rule for yourself that you would never say anything online that you wouldn't be willing to say to that person if they were standing in front of you at that moment? What does it look like for us to love people the way that God ultimately loves us? That's one thing to be aware of. The other thing too that I think we all need to be aware of is that social media when I am on any profile or scrolling through other stuff, that the time that I am on this can hinder the time that I am with someone. So that all of a sudden, this can become more important than the person that I'm sitting across a table with at a coffee shop. You know, now, and listen, I am just as guilty about this as anyone else. But we could do an entire sermon on this subject. What does it look like for us to simply take these devices and set them down and turn them off? You know, when you're out at a restaurant with family, you know, instead of sitting there, everybody, I mean, you can find these pictures online all the time now of like the family out to dinner and everyone's on their device, or the family sitting around in the living room together and everyone's on their device. What would it look like for us just to turn it off and just to be able to be present with one another, to be able to honestly be in each other's lives? There are statistics that show that a conversation completely changes when one of these is even just out on a table. And going ahead and turning it upside down is not the polite way to show someone that you're actually connecting with them. So what if we just put it away, turned it off? I just highly recommend that you're a person, man, when you just set rules for you, your family, your friends. When you're out, it's off and it's away. And you have the opportunity just to connect with each other. But that doesn't mean that this can't be used as a great way to love each other through social media. There's a guy I know who he sets aside 15 minutes at least every day to encourage people through social media and texting. And he just simply, you know, he has a prayer list of all kinds of people he's praying for. And there are times where he's praying for someone and he'll just shoot him a text and say, "Hey, I was praying for you this morning. Just want you to know, I think you're awesome and God thinks you're awesomer. Have a great day." Now, that's a little thing, but if you're in the middle of a stressful day and you get something like that from someone who you know who's caring for you, do you think that would like boost your day in any way, shape, or form? There are ways that we can really love each other well. Okay, that's number two. Love God, love others. What about loving yourself? And this is one that's hard for us to wrap our minds around, but we all know that it's true. That social media was created with the idea of us being social, of us all connecting with each other. And there is lots out there that would, I mean, I don't think any of us would argue this. We are the most connected generation of people of any time in human history. And yet statistics also show that there are more people struggling with depression, anxiety, and loneliness than any other time in human history. Isn't that odd? That we are more connected, yet we are more alone. So, I mean, the things that people are finding out, many of these people who have created social media, is that that in reality, what's taken place with these different devices is that rather than us connecting, we end up passively scrolling, and in doing that, all we are doing rather than connecting is just simply comparing. And that in comparing, what I'm doing most of the time is I'm comparing my ho-hum average everyday life to your highlight reels. And so I compare, you know, I see your vacations and I see your promotions and I see the new car that you purchased and I see what you were able to do at Christmas. And I compare it to the life that I'm living and I end up just feeling worse about myself. It's the mom that gets up in the morning and she's pulling together her kids' lunches and she's pulling together leftover pizza from the night before and some like last like potato chips that are at the bottom of the bag before she throws it away. And then she goes online and sees a mother who got up at 5 in the morning to pull together a lunch for her children that is 100% organic, non-GMO, topped off with kale chips. And they end up feeling awful about themselves because you are comparing your ho-hum average every day in order to someone else's highlight reel that they felt good enough to post. See, what would it look like for us just simply to like, as we're going through social media and we're taking time scrolling, to stop and go, okay, as I'm doing this, just self-check. Am I feeling better about myself or worse? In other words, am I seeing myself more the way that God sees me? Or am I hearing some other voice in my head right now that's telling me something different, that ultimately is doing something negative? One idea on how to deal with social media in a more productive way, there are studies that show that the more that we actually interact with social media, that is better than passive scrolling. In other words, that when I actually interact with the people I know, love, and care about, going on their pages, posting on their pictures, commenting on different things, starting dialogue by direct messaging back and forth, remembering old memories, that people end up feeling better about those situations rather than the passive scrolling when I actively interact. But these are just three very practical ideas. What does it mean for me to love God, to love others, and to love myself in the way I use social media? It can be kind of vague though, can it? Like when you stop to think about it, you're scrolling for a while, you're like, okay, am I loving God, loving others, loving myself? I don't know. But what if we had some type of grid to be able to use? I was working on a sermon that I did just a couple weeks ago, and I was thinking about this message, and there was a passage of scripture that the couple wanted to use for their wedding. It was 1 Corinthians 13, known as the love chapter, and they wanted to use it in their wedding. Shocker. Half of the weddings that I do use that passage of scripture. So, but as I was thinking about it with social media, all of a sudden it dawned on me, this is perfect to use as a grid when we're using social media. I mean, what if we just, when you were doing what it was you were doing, think about loving God, loving others, loving myself. If you just put it through this grid, and the way that I am interacting, love is patient. In other words, love doesn't just go ahead, read something, oh, I'm coming back at you right now. No. Love is patient. And in the ways that I interact, love is kind. Like, love, I'm scrolling through, love doesn't envy. And the stuff I'm gonna post and the filters I'm gonna, love doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It doesn't dishonor others. You know, it's not easily angered. It's not self-seeking. It keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil. It always rejoices with the truth. What if we were just simply to use that as a grid, as a lens, whenever we were using social media? Maybe it would help. Here's what I want to challenge you with. I would love for this week for you to do some self-examination on the way that you use social media. It would be a great conversation to have in your life group or any group that you meet with. It would be a great one to have with friends as you go out to dinner, with family members. And just to talk about how is it when you take a deep dive into the way that you use social media and what's going on inside of you, what's really going on? Because you see, all kinds of people, they're like, I don't like social media. People are two-faced and hypocritical and they just post what they want you to see and you don't really get a feel for who they are. I would argue that maybe that's not true. Because you see, I think that we have an opportunity, because I think that the way you use social media, it actually displays your true heart to you, if we're willing to stop and look at it. That if you're a person who's posting and you have to have the perfect angle with the perfect lighting with all the right filters on a picture to get the greatest amount of likes that you can, and you just need to look good before everybody, even though your life is not like that, I would argue that that's showing where your heart is. That you're a person who cares more about what people think of you than what's really true about you. Because in reality, you're not sure if people knew you for who you really were, that they would actually accept you. That's what's going on in your heart. If you're a person who spews out all kinds of anger and hatred towards the world, and you do it anonymously, see, I would venture to say that you have a pride issue, and that you're most likely self-righteous, and you have anger you need to deal with. That's what's going on in your heart. If you're a person who, like, you have a secret life that nobody knows about, and social media, the people you interact with, the stuff that you look at, I would say you have a self-control issue and probably a problem with lust. That's what's going on in your heart. If you're a person, every time that you look at people's stuff, you just get so frustrated by all this amazing stuff that's happening in everyone else's life. See, I would say that you have a problem with envy and jealousy. That's in your heart. You see, if we use social media as an opportunity, it displays what's truly going on inside of it. And it gives us the opportunity to unearth that stuff and to bring it before a God who loves you more than you understand or imagine, who desires more than anything just to be able to take that stuff and to help you with it, to transform you more into the person that he desires for you to be. That we would be people of grace, mercy, forgiveness, love. That's what God desires to do. And so as you look at things this week, do you want to be a person who's just used by social media, or do you want to see this as an opportunity to use it in order to love God, love others, and love yourself more the way that God truly sees you? Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much that you are a God who desires to enter into every area of our lives. And God, you see our hearts. You know the stuff that's going on. You know the ugly things in there that like we don't want to admit and we don't like looking at. I pray that for so many of us as we dive into this stuff this week, would you help us to be able to unearth what is truly going on? And would you be the gentle, loving God to come alongside us and to transform our lives? That we would be able to use something like this of social media as a way to be able to reflect your love to the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people together said, amen.